اهلا وسهلا مرحبا.
مركز صحابه اون لاين راديو امباورينج ذا يمه.
ويلكم يا ابو صفا.
السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of مركز صحابه, the voice of اهل السنه والجماعه, we welcome you to this program. It is Tuesday, alhamdulillah. The date today is the 29th of Safar, 1446. And you know, Tuesdays, we have Hazrat Mulana Musa Lahe, Damat Barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mulana.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mulana. I hope you're well.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Always well, Mulana. How's things on your side?
Alhamdulillah, excellent. Allah's favor, alhamdulillah.
Mulana is back in Cape Town or still in Zimbabwe?
No, I'm back in Cape Town, alhamdulillah. Spent about 3 days, I think it was.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I was back in Cape Town.
MashaAllah. And I know last week we couldn't get hold of Mulana because of the network situation. So there's no network in the airport of Zimbabwe.
So Zimbabwe is slowly but surely coming up. It will take a bit of time, but alhamdulillah, there's a lot of progress, you know. I think it's been a year since I've been there. Obviously, this time was a quick trip in and out for some work and that day. But alhamdulillah, there is a lot of progress happening there.
Alhamdulillah. And currently, what currency are they using?
So, most of the currency is used in United States dollars. But there is something called ZiG, which is something new. I really don't know how it works. But it's more like transfers and things like that, from what I understand.
And with regards to the Islamic situation in Zimbabwe, is it improving or getting worse? What does Mulana see there?
So, Mulana, alhamdulillah, whilst I was there, we managed to have one ladies' program. But the ulama had spoken to me and asked me to touch on a few topics. And that is, of course, one is, you know, creating a dini environment in the home, encouraging ta'aleem in the home. But what they're finding there is that a lot of the teenagers, a lot of the youth, they don't go to the masjid. Not to say that all don't go. Alhamdulillah, there's a significant amount of people that do come. But I suppose from the ratios they're looking at, and of course, being local ulama, they would understand the dynamics better. So there's a lot of youngsters that, for some reason, they just don't go to the masjid. It's a very cosmopolitan community from what I've seen over the last few years. There's a lot. Mulana, can you hear me?
Chi, I can hear you perfectly.
Chi. There's a lot of Pakistanis, a lot of Indians, a lot of Arabs, Somalians, Ethiopians that have been coming into the country. But I suppose the youth, you know, the youth is always a challenge. And getting them to the masjid has always been something that is of utmost importance. You find, Mulana, that in Zimbabwe, I think from the time that I was still living there, was a very strong secular nation. So a lot of preference was always given to secular education, and very little importance is given to Islamic or dini education. And with the result, you find that, of course, the masajid will then slowly but surely become empty. There's still a lot of elderly people in the community, so they keep the masajid going, alhamdulillah. However, if effort is not going to be made on the youth, then undoubtedly, you know, you're going to lose generations. And the masjid will become a place where people will visit it probably on a Jumu'ah, over the weekend, you know, a casual visit, not your required 5 daily salahs. And this is something that we need to look at. And I see the similar thing happening here in Cape Town. You know, it's become a very, very secularistic community that all efforts are being put just for school education and secular education. And so much so, Molana, we find that a lot of the girls even are now becoming so career-minded that they aspire to go to universities and take up careers in pharmaceuticals or in IT or in various other subjects. And Molana, this is the thing, and this is what we need to address, is that these universities are breeding grounds for fitna. It's a problem area. And, you know, my Sheikh Zaman Daud Sahib Daman Barakatuh, he mentions this here so strongly. He says that only an insane person, an insane father, will send his daughters to the university. And really, when you look at it, what's happening in the universities, what's happening in the secular grounds, is breeding grounds for great, great fitna. You know, Molana, we have a Jamaat here from Lens. This is coincidentally just the fourth Jamaat in 4 years in the Panorama area.
Sure.
So that alone tells you a story. But alhamdulillah, you know, this morning we were sitting and we were making mashura, where would they work and things like that. And next week, alhamdulillah, they're moving closer towards UCT and they're hoping to work there. So I gave them a bit of tips, you know, with regards to UCT, in that, you know, there's a lot of Shia infiltration that's happening there. There's a lot of Western influences that are taking place, you know. And I'm finding that this is happening across the board in every single university today's time. So a few weeks ago, Molana, 2 weeks ago, after our weekly Majlis program, one student came to me and he told me that he's been sharing his boarding with what he found out now after 1.5 years is a Shia youngster. And he didn't know up till now that this youngster is Shia. And they started deliberating and saying that, you know what, the old story came about when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to basically dictate what should be written down, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, no, now is not the time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not well, etc. So that youngster actually came to me convinced that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was absolutely wrong and the khilafah should have been given to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala.
Inna lillah.
And then I had to explain to him the whole incident, how it unfolded and what had actually happened. And ultimately, Allah ta'ala wouldn't have allowed any other khalif to sit on the throne, so to speak, other than Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And then I gave him advice. I said, see, you know, when our knowledge is very, very limited, the best thing that we can do is not even debate, not even encourage any form of discussion with the Shia. And I explained to him that one of the core beliefs is this of telling lies, you know? just like the Israeli Jews, how they lie through their teeth. And they actually get thawab from lying according to their belief structure. So, Molana, you know, in a nutshell, this is the challenges that the youth are facing. And somebody really needs to take the bull by the horns here, because the youngsters, they don't have the deep insight or knowledge or even wisdom or experience in this field. And it's very, very easy for them to get swept away.
And this is a global catastrophe which the Muslims are facing. I was just speaking to another Mufti from Pakistan just now, and he said in Pakistan also, when we went, this was probably in 2010-2011, we saw still a bit of signs of life, meaning that the old school way of doing things, cooking, especially when we went to our village, we saw all of these things. But he says now even the youth have moved out of the villages, so they've moved towards the cities, and it's all about, they won't make a roti, that's gone, that's history, to make a roti. Even when you're buying, you won't find many shops selling rotis. It's more like all these Western restaurants, all of this here. And it's all about, he says, this is the exact what's happening. It's all about, you just take a picture with a Palestinian flag, and there, that makes you a Muslim now. But that roots where we're losing it totally, and I think it's either going to come to an end, because we won't be able to move forward. If you look at the way we are living, how much longer can we live off all of these restaurant foods, takeouts, all of this? There's got to be that point where you're going to say enough is enough in a couple. But rather, I think it has to come, as you've said, Mulana, someone has to hit this on the nail and make it something that is sudden, where we bring back our roots and the basics. Because as we're moving forward, we may seem like we're advancing. If you take our money in our bank accounts, they can freeze it at any time. If your app stops working, what happens then? Where are you going to get money from? The bank is closed on a Sunday. So these are different ways in which they can catch us, and we have to be awake and alert. Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the tawfiq. About Zimbabwe again, another question is, what's the education like there? Is it improving? We know they had a high standard before. Currently, what's it like?
So I believe that, you know what, Zimbabwe is still very advanced as far as the level of literacy is concerned and the level of education. It's not what it was, because obviously with the current economical crisis and political challenges and strife and whatever it is that has come with it, a lot of people have emigrated. They've left Zimbabwe and they've come away to New Zealand and Australia and the United Kingdom, and maybe even a few into South Africa. However, I think there's still a very high level of education that is offered in Zimbabwe, and that's what the people actually thrive on. But when it comes to our dini knowledge, this obviously is something that needs to be given great preference. You know, Maulana, there's certain things that you can see in communities, you know, that is lacking when it comes to... I'll give you an example. I came out of the masjid the one day, and there was about five or six youngsters that were smoking cigarettes outside the masjid. Right? Now, this is alone is a bad habit. But then to do it right at the door of the masjid, I mean, this is something that, you know, obviously you can't just go up to those youngsters and now reprimand them, because they probably picked it up from the elders in the community who have been doing this and passing it on and passing it on and passing it on. But these youngsters have now become fathers, and so it somewhat gives you like a license or a certificate to do as you please. But I mean, come on, it's a masjid. Fair enough, it's not in the masjid, but it's in the grounds of the masjid. And that is something... I don't know how it is in Lanesha, Maulana, but this is also something that needs to be addressed.
Definitely.
You find this happening in Ramadan, and not to say that we condone it or rather it's acceptable in Ramadan, but obviously we understand to some degree that, you know what, okay, the smokers, they need that little bit of a puff before whatever, etc. But the issue is that it's just become a cultural thing. It's no longer a sanctified area. The masjid is, the masjid grounds is supposed to be something that is sacred. It is something that is supposed to be held in high esteem. A person cannot smoke a cigarette outside the courtroom. A person cannot smoke a cigarette right outside the doctor's surgeon. But then we'll light a cigarette right outside the house of Allah. And of course, we know that the malaika detest such odors, and the malaika of Rahmah, they flee away from such things.
Exactly.
So again, you know, it boils down to culture. And it boils down to what we are accepting in society and looking, it's nothing serious, it's nothing, you know, why make a big fuss about it? At least the children are coming to the masjid. Yes, alhamdulillah, at least the children are coming to the masjid. But I think for them to take another 10, 15 steps till they're out of the boundary of the masjid yard, it's not a train smash either. It's not a train smash either. You know, by us allowing this to happen, then we're just taking away the sanctity of the masjid.
I think, Mulana, you've touched on an important topic, and we need a specific topic just on the sanctity of the masjid on so many levels. We see, till today it disturbs me just to think about it, that I was just going to enter our masjid, and there was someone going to enter, and he, just before the doors of mercy, you're just going to enter the doors of mercy, that's the doors of mercy, that's what you're reading. Allahumma aftah li abwaaba rahmatik. Oh Allah, open the doors of mercy for me. And here you take a puff of this, what do they call it, the twisp.
Mm.
Or this, there's vape.
Mm.
So he took a puff of it, and he's blowing it in his kurta, so that the smoke doesn't blow clouds out. But of course, it's going to come out from there either way, sooner or later. But the point of the matter is, these are not just normal people. These are, in society, they are known as dini people. And if we are giving the impression that it's fine like this, as you've said, Mulana, sometimes it's a cult, a culture that we have. We've seen the seniors do it. Or sometimes he's a knowledgeable person, he's doing it. So why can't we do it as well? So this is how people think. Whereas when we were growing up, we've seen general people who do not wear kurta, but they taught us certain lessons that some others couldn't teach us. And that is that when you're even driving past the masjid, these things you can only learn because it settles in when you're at that young age. And it sticks with you for life. Nobody can remove that from us now. You're driving past the masjid, you'd make sure you've got no music playing on. Of course, you're not allowed to listen to music, but these were people, general people, but they had that respect. And through that respect, Allah Azza wa Jal slowly took them away from music also and away from all the haram. But this other mindset, where at least we're bringing people to the masjid, but the problem there is you're bringing them, and if they are going to be disrespectful to Allah's home, they don't honor the sanctity, then it's going to take them further away, and that just may jeopardize everything which we do not want. So it's an important topic that we need to address, inshallah, one day. Maybe perhaps in the future, next week or something, we can speak on this year. It's not just this.
You know, Maulana, I just want to share a very vivid memory with you. When we were young, in Zimbabwe, we had a television in the house, you know, that old fat guy, the old television. And it was in a cabinet and what have you. But when the month of Ramadan came, Maulana, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
Indeed. So when the month of Ramadan came, my mother would always take a tablecloth or something like that there and cover the whole TV up, you know?
Mm.
You knew now. You can't go near the television, Ramadan and what have you. And outwardly, you know, to a youngster, it makes no sense because
it's
all
still
you need
there
to do is switch it off, you know? But they used to practice this, and this was a practice, and I'm sure a lot of our older parents, they can relate with what I'm saying, you know, they used to do this. And subhanAllah, with the barakah of this year, the televisions came out of our homes. And until today, I'm talking now maybe 20, 30 years later, there's no television,
alhamdulillah.
So this is what I'm saying, is that, you know, just to reiterate what Maulana mentioned, is that if we do things with an open heart and with good intentions, right? We're weak, we know we have these bad habits. Allah save us, Allah protect us, Allah guide us, Allah help us through them. But at least, you know, have some sharam and some haya that
exactly.
I will not do this here in public, or I will not do this at least in the vicinity of the masjid. Allah will give tawfiq to give it up. I mean, you know, it's a battle always. Ask any smoker, it's a battle, a real battle to give it up. But at least now you're saying, I can't go to the masjid like this here. I can't smoke in the masjid grounds. These are things that you know, they're principles that I must not break. And then you'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sooner or later, I have yaqeen in this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give tawfiq one day for that person to give it up and to inculcate better habits in them and remove all these evil habits. So again, it just boils down to education. And it boils down to tarbiyah. Parents need to also play a critical role. As a parent, you can't tell your child not to smoke in the masjid grounds when you yourself are doing it. You know, we all need to take a stance. We all need to be, you know, Maulana, in Ramadan, I still remember in Mayte Masjid, subhanallah, just after the adhan is given, and obviously they give you that 6-7 minute leeway to have a bit of a snack and what have you. But the masjid is smelling of smoke. And, you know, I used to announce it until I was blue. And I still continue announcing it, you know. But these are things that we must not take for granted. And we must not take them as very lightly also.
There was, as Maulana was speaking now, then I was just thinking about this as well, that there was one Haji we met as well recently, about 2 months back or so, when we were speaking to him, he told us that, look, I'm a smoker, but I just, for the life of me, those 5 days of Hajj, I said, I'm not going to smoke. And believe it or not, Allah Azza wa Jal granted me tawfiq, and now I'm trying to stop it totally. And then, so this is just ways, if you're not going to respect the masjid here, it's going to be, Allah may snatch that tawfiq to for you to stop it when you're going for Hajj. And if you start it now, by the time you get there, inshallah, you'll be gone off the habit. And there was one or two tips that one brother shared with me. He said, and it made sense to a certain degree, he said that how he quit smoking was, he said there's two things to it. One is you taking something and you bringing it to your mouth. And the other is you are breathing in and you're breathing out. So just for the listeners' benefit, for those who are, you can try this out, where you purchase nuts or something that you eat and munch on.
Baltong, Maulana.
Baltong.
Baltong works well.
Make sure it's halal, though.
Jeez.
So you take it to your, Baltong would be perfect. And you take it to your, because you're doing that action, you continue with that. And when, after you take that bite or whatever, after you chew it or at a suitable time, you breathe in and you breathe out. He said, actually, what gives the smoker that satisfaction is that breathing in and breathing out. And we just like, from this perspective here, where we say you take Allah's name or something, it's going to add so much of value. Your heart is going to find peace, because that's what Allah says. Allah bi dhikrillahi tatmainul qulub. So these are just another way of, we could try it, inshallah. He said he quit smoking easily with that. But then he shared some other scarier incidents, which he said he tried. He said he stopped smoking weed and all of that, but he said, recently, you get these edibles. So there's no smell, there's nothing, but it's giving you the same effect. And this, what it does is, he said, I thought this is maybe a good substitute. But he said, when I took it, I felt exactly like how when I smoke it. So I came to the conclusion that I'm only deceiving myself. Look at Allah granted him the tawfiq to admit and to come out of it again. So these are all the poisons that are out there, and we have to protect our health. This is vitally important, because at the end, when we lose our health, it's major, it's catastrophic. Allah protect us, grant those who are suffering good health again.
I mean, absolutely well said, Maulana.
We appreciate your time, Maulana. Your last words before we leave you, inshallah.
I think, you know, I'm going to reiterate the point of parents. Start parenting, you know. Let's forget about all our comfort and start parenting as it is our responsibility. كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. We are going to be questioned according to our flock. And if we do a good job, inshallah, Allah will be happy with us. And Allah will grant us a wonderful life in dunya and akhirah.
Jazakum Allah khairan, Mulana. Your advice, your words, inspiration. Make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum, barakallahu fikum, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, that was Mulana Musa Lee sharing us some pearls, some beautiful pieces of advice.
Ahlan wa sahlan marhaba.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.